Boy, our poor hymnal feels like it had a workout this morning. I can't remember the last time we sang that much out of that. But you know, it's interesting. You grow up with those songs, and I can't remember, honestly, the last time that we sang any of them as part of the service. I don't know if we did it last 4th of July. Maybe we squeaked those in. And I want to thank Scott for stepping up, because if he didn't, I would have had to do that, and it would have just been terrible. So thank you. Thank you, Scott. I know where my strengths are. I'm not ashamed. Actually, when I started here, I don't know if some of you remember that, I would have to step up to the pulpit and announce it, and I would step way back because the youth were in the sound room, and they thought it was funny to crank it up, the mic up. So, and you know what? And here's the thing. You know, it just fits with this week. Everything is becoming a little more patriotic. You know, you see the stores. You see that red, white, and blue things they're selling. I think you see a lot of little towns that you drive through now on their main street. They have their flags posted. Every other parking lot seems to have a firework tent now that they're legal in Michigan. And if you're lucky as we are, you have neighbors that began celebrating a good week early. So it's just fantastic. But when we really stop to think about it, we have so much to celebrate in this country. You know, despite the negatives, despite what the media is currently sharing, God has truly blessed America in a lot of ways, and I think it's good to stop and it's good to reflect and think about those things. Some years ago, Rich DeVos, who is the co-founder of Amway, we know him, if you go to Grand Rapids at all, their names are on pretty much everything, but he was making a comparison of America and the Soviet Union, and he said that America would have to do to equal Russia. He said we would have to rip up 13 of every 14 miles of paved highway. We'd have to scrap 19 of every 20 cars and trucks and destroy over 2,000 colleges. We'd have to destroy 7 out of every 10 single-family homes and cut our living standard by 2/3. Now, I know that he's made this statement years ago, and I don't think it's quite as bad in Russia today as it was when he made those comments. But anybody here swap your American citizenship to be a citizen of Russia? I'd love to visit it, but yeah, I mean, still to this day, we are greatly blessed. We are greatly blessed with an amazing amount of freedom when you look at the rest of the world. We are blessed with opportunities, and I think those are those places that I think sometimes we take it for granted. I mean, even a high school education where all of our young people take that, whether for granted or just, oh, it's something we have to do. There's a lot of places in the world that you don't get any education, let alone that free high school education. And now even colleges, our government's working toward ways to make that accessible to everyone. And even the spiritual blessings, and I'm not just talking about the freedom to worship. I mean, our Christian culture of Christian books, movies, music, everything is just, we have a plethora. If you want to grow your faith, you have all the tools at your disposal right now. And I would even say we in a church. I mean, you probably realize this if you've ever went to another country, but the fact that we're enjoying this air conditioning and you're sitting in padded pews, that is a blessing compared to your brothers and sisters around the world. I mean, Jody thanked the good Lord for that. I mean, for me, if I get too hot, I can change the sanctuary just on my phone. I can just dial that in and cool that down while I'm preaching, right? That is unheard of. And yet we roll in here, and most of you didn't worry about, oh, it's not going to be AC'd in church. And I guarantee if it was, some of you would have found something better to do, but thank you. The AC was working. But we are so incredibly blessed. And again, often we don't think about that until we stop. And so God has blessed America, but I don't think we should leave it there, because I think all of us here would say that we want God to continue to bless America. And in order to do that, we have to play our part, because today I want to show you three ways that I believe that we as Christians can and should bless America. Number one, respect your government. Now, I know this is not always easy. I know it's not always fun. And currently, if you believe the news and everything out there, it's not very popular. But look what the Bible says. This is 1 Peter 13 and 14. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of governors, as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. So when we look at this verse, obviously the Bible's telling us we need to submit and accept that authority over us. When we really look at the verse here, this is pretty much talking about law enforcement at this point, right? And sadly, our law enforcement has taken a beating over the last several years, right? And you look at it and it's sad because here's the thing. They are not perfect. They are humans. They are broke just like you and I are. And it is absolutely true. Just like any other group, pastors included, there is a segment of that population that is corrupt. We would not deny that fact. There are corrupt pastors. There are corrupt politicians. There are corrupt doctors. There are corrupt lawyers. It's just, that's the nature of it. So we can't make judgments based on that small part of that and just throw them all in. That's not the right thing to do. And so, by and large, I believe the majority of people in law enforcement are in it for the right reasons. And they are trying to do the best job they can in a very difficult situation. There was a woman who was in a hurry, and she had to get to this appointment. She had circled the block, and she could not find parking. So finally, she just decided to park in a place that clearly was marked, no parking. After she had conducted her business, she came back out to her car to find a policeman writing her a ticket. Obviously, she was not happy, as none of you would be. And so she told the cop, "And just what do you do when you actually catch a real criminal?" The police officer shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know, all I ever catch are the innocent ones." Now, let's be honest. Anybody ever enjoyed getting stopped by a cop? No. You know it's probably going to cost you something, right? And we know either we did something stupid, but by and large, I actually got stopped. The last time I got stopped, I was innocent. And once I explained to the cop, he let me go. But by and large, we are not innocent. And here's the thing. We really make things worse with a bad attitude. We make it harder on them and their job, and frankly, I think we make it harder on us as well. I will tell you, I did something as a teen driver. I was on a date, not with Beth, and we were coming out of Oxego. This was before Beth. And I was going to turn on the highway to go north. And I had gone past my turn by, I don't know, 6-7 feet. And I was like, shoot. And I didn't want to go into town and turn back around. So I quickly looked around, didn't see anything, jacked that car in reverse, just backed up a little bit and took my turn. Soon as I got on the ramp down, lights on, right? It's bad enough when you get stopped, but when you get stopped on a date, it's not great. So there I am, and the cop, you know, read me the right, you know, didn't give me a ticket. He said you had to go see the judge. And so I'm just thinking, dang it, I'm going to get stuck. And my parents had cut the deal that they'd pay our car insurance until we got a ticket. So it might have costed, you know, it was going to cost me multiple times over. So my day in court came, and I put on a nice collared shirt. I put on dress pants. I cleaned myself up. When it was my time with the judge, it was yes, sir, no, sir. And guess what I got walking out of there? I got off. It was a misunderstanding. Thankfully, the cop never showed up. He had wrote me for backing down an on-ramp, which that's not what I did. And so, but I will tell you, if I would have went in there flippant and a jerk, whether it was right or not, that judge had all sorts of capacity to teach this young punk that he needed to abide by the law. Attitude. When it comes to dealing with cops, attitude is huge. It pays to be respectful. And not just in the hope to reduce your punishment, it is what we as Christians are called to do. But here's the thing, that truth doesn't stop at the courthouse, it goes on to the state house, and it goes all the way to the White House. We are called to respect authority. Romans 13, 1 through 7, page 923 in the Pew Bible, if you want to follow along, says this: "Let every person be subject to the government, governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities exist having been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also because of the conscience. For the same reason, you also pay your taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. And that's one of those, look, it's pretty self-explanatory. When we read something like that, again, whether you like the current administration or are wishing for the good old days of the last administration, the point of this is we are to respect, not necessarily agree always, but to respect the authority over us. But here's the thing, when we read something like this, I've met people, and there are people that read to say, look, this is in play with all human authority, regardless if their laws go against God's or not, because there are people that believe that, you know what, absolutely everything goes according to God's will, and if the laws seem to go against the Bible, then either we don't have an understanding or we can't see the bigger picture or plan of God. This is a theological standpoint that I don't necessarily agree with, because I believe in free will. I believe that as free will happens, that means mankind can go against what God wants. And when this happens, we need to understand that there's a hierarchy that comes with authority. God's authority is the top authority always. This book is the authority above all other authority, right? And so then it trickles down. Now, our government comes into play, and it's underneath that. But again, if God is the ultimate authority, it means that every other lower authority has to take precedence to God's rule. If our laws ever go against God's, then as Christians, in the eyes of the ruling authority, we will be considered criminals, because we are to obey God's laws before man's laws. And thankfully in America, we enjoy a whole lot of freedom. That's not the same as for our brothers and sisters that exist around the planet. There are those people that, again, we pray for in the persecuted church that have to go against their laws of their country because they know that God's laws trump that. And we see this, a quick example, we see this in Acts. Peter and John are brought before the authorities, and the authorities are pointing out that they are doing the wrong things, and that the law says this, and this is what they say, Acts 4:19. Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You will be the judges." They were saying, look, we're going to listen to God, whatever he says, whether it costs us, whether we're punished, it doesn't bother us. We are going to obey what God has to say. The next thing that we need to do to bless this country is we need to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone. Pay attention. For kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is the right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, whose desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is easier to grumble and complain about the things that we don't like in our government and country, isn't it? I mean, it is so easy. And then with social media, we just have a free-for-all that whenever you want to spew whatever you want to spew, we feel like you have the right to do that. So feel free. Just unleash your venom, unleash your opinion out there. And yet here these verses are telling us to pray. Because we need to remember as Christians that prayer is the most powerful tool we have. We are commanded to pray for those that are in authority over us. We need to be praying for their protection. We need to be praying wisdom. How much wisdom does Washington, D.C. need? I'll just leave that question. Just mull that around, right? And as you think about that, let that drive you to prayer. Motivation. What motivates our leaders, right? If they're motivated in the right ways, they tend to make more right decisions. If they're motivated by greed and whatever, so we should be praying for their motivation. We should be praying for their spirituality. Again, those are people that are broken, and if they don't have Christ in their life, that are lost. I think we also need to pray for rest. I love those pictures are always interesting when you have the before the presidency and the after presidency picture and how much those people age. Are you praying that your leaders get respite and rest for the soul? Because they're like you. They make better decisions when they're well rested, right? When they don't have as much stress, which I can't imagine. So we need to be praying for for our leaders. We need to pray for our country. And the best thing we can do is pray. And then finally, to bless our country, we need to live the life. Look at Titus 2, 9 and 10. Tell slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. They are not to talk back, not to pilfer, but to show complete and perfect fidelity, so that in everything they may be an adornment to the doctrine of God our Savior. Obviously, that the context here is not talking about slaves. It's pretty much, in our context, it's talking about employees. And it is speaking to the importance to which your witness is at work. Because here's the inconvenient reality and truth of this matter, right? You are in a workplace, which I would say is probably one of your biggest mission fields if you're still working. Hiding your faith at work, meaning that none of your coworkers know you're a Christian, that's not an option. Our coworkers are supposed to know that we are a Christ follower. But also being a terrible example of what a Christ follower looks like isn't a great option either. So not only do people need to know that we're a Christian, we need to give them a good example of what it looks like. Larry Burkett, anybody remember him back in the day? Larry Burkett was Dave Ramsey for the last generation in a lot of ways. I remember him speaking on Christian radio when I was a kid, and he was just a national speaker and really focused on managing your money. And he received a letter from a non-Christian woman who owned a small business. And she wrote, "Larry, I've had trouble with my employees for years. They will not do an honest day's work. They are lazy and rebellious. I heard your radio program, decided to hire all Christians," which I don't even know that's legal anymore, but there you go. "I did, but I have never had a more complaining, griping group of people. They were always mumbling about something. I've now replaced them with refugees. The refugees are so grateful to work, they'll do anything I ask. They don't grumble and complain. I think American Christians need to wake up." Okay, so Larry Burkett passed away in 2003. So this is down the pipe. But I would sadly probably make the assessment, we haven't improved all that much since then as Christians. The way you do your work is part of your witness. How hard, the verses that say, what? Do everything as unto the Lord? That's not a suggestion. That's not some happy, hey, if you feel like it, if you have the energy to, then do it like unto me. And that idea that, hey, oh, that's a Christian, let's see, people are watching. And I don't say that to try to make you feel bad. I don't say that to try to put more pressure on you. But as I imagine that, just think of the opposite. Can you imagine what this country would look like if every person that claims to be a Christian lived out the example of Christ in their workplace? Do you think this country would look different than it does now? Oh yeah, it would. And that's not, we're not talking about people that have no faith. All we're talking about is the people that claim Jesus Christ are living the way that God intends them to live. To work hard, to have integrity. It makes a difference. And here's the thing. This isn't just about what you do at work. Our country is in desperate need of good citizens. People that are examples of Christ no matter where they go. And I would argue our communities are in desperate need of this example. So most of you know that both of our kids work at the Bigby in Plainwell. So feel free, if you need your coffee fix, go down and harass them. But I love hearing these stories that they share about the joys of customer service. And if any of you have ever worked in retail or had to deal with any of that, you know there are just a certain segment of the population that are entitled through the core of their being, and they want service, and they want it perfect, and they want it yesterday. So Taylor was sharing that this lady came in. Okay, so Bigby. In 105-degree heat index, you don't really probably want a hot coffee, right? So Bigby has these wonderful things called frozen coffees or iced coffees, all these things. So they have these two big industrial blenders that churn your ice so you can have this wonderful iced frozen coffee. One of the blenders were down. Every person in there was buying what? Frozen coffee. This woman was not happy. She wanted her coffee and she wanted it now. So she has the audacity to ream Taylor out, say, "I know how much money you make. You can afford another blender." Like my assistant, not even assistant, team leading daughter had anything to do that she could run out and do anything about that. How many times do people chew on the individuals that can't do anything about the problems they're griping? What did it cost that woman? Another 5 minutes of her life? Did it make anybody around? And I don't know if she was a Christian or not. I'm going to pray that she wasn't. That we need to be praying for that poor woman's soul. But how often, and we've all experienced it, right? Where someone is just lit up and angry because the world revolves around me. And what I want it now, and everybody else should make that happen. And we as Christians need to be examples of grace. And listen to Titus 3, 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities. So that's the same thing we've been talking about. To be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show courtesy to everyone. How bad does our culture need this verse? I figured I'd get more than one amen. That's okay. I mean, I'm getting a lot. I mean, come on. We're in this society. We don't have to be courteous. If you tick me off, I have every right. I have the freedom of speech. It means I can tell you exactly what I think of you at any moment, right? Didn't I just say that God's authority is higher than a man? Oh, I got you now, right? Because that's God's law, not to speak evil, to be gentle, to be courteous. That trumps your freedom of speech right as a Christian American. We need to be examples of those around us. Our country needs a heavy dose of it. Where does the example come from? It has to come from the church. It has to come from the body of Christ. There's an old Persian legend that once pictured four angels watching God create the world. One said, "Why did God make it?" Another said, "How did God make it?" A third said, "Can I have it?" And the last one said, "Can I help make it better?" Where do you fall in the general scheme of things? Some of us that are philosophical, we like to ask the question, why? We see the things go on around us, and we try to analyze and figure out why it's going on. Those of us that might have more of a scientific taint to us, we ask the questions of how. We want to know how these things work. If we are strictly selfish, we wonder, what can I have? The Christian attitude has to be, how can I make it better? When you see the culture around us, when you see the problems, whining and complaining about it doesn't do anything. Praying about it and showing another way does. It is easy to see that America is not what she should be. And a lot of people have the wrong attitude about America. Some, again, wonder why she's becoming corrupted. Others want to know, how did America get this way? Others still want to know what they can get from America. We as Christians should be asking, how can I help make America better? How can I bless America? Please pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father God, again, we are humbled by the fact that you allowed us to live in this country with all the freedoms that we do. And Lord, we don't want to take any of those things for granted. And Lord, we want to be praying. We want to be examples of Christ followers in our workplaces, just in our culture, in our day-to-day moving around in this community. And Lord, give us the strength to do that. Help us not look at the world about what we can get and to be selfish. And we know that we have that in us, and we know that we can feel entitled. We know we can get rushed, and we can be angry and spew on people that don't deserve it. And so just in our day-to-day, Lord, continue to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, if you've convicted anybody this morning, just help them run to you. Help them to repent and offer that to you, Lord. And just pour out your sweet forgiveness like you always do. And just continue to draw us closer to you. Continue to work in us so that we can be all that you've called us to be. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.